Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Incredible anointing, incredible presence of God, and we bless you, Lord. Let the earth be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters that cover the sea. We thank you tonight for the spiritual rain. Also for hearing the prayers concerning, and our pleas concerning Cape Town. We decree you will fill the dams this year. It's not because of some idol worshippers are doing that or saying that. It's because we who are called by your name, upon whose name is called out, we that belong to you, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we pray in the name of Jesus to Almighty God the Father, boldly coming to the throne room of grace according to Hebrews 4:16, that we might obtain grace and peace and mercy and answered prayer in the time of need. We stand in the gap for those people in Cape Town. We thank you for the rain that they receive. We bless you for the spiritual rain and revival in South Africa. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give him a praise offering right now. Yes. Amen. You may take your seats. This band is fabulous. They are not all of them are here. But can you believe the sound that this crowd is putting out? Just like that. I used to say to Marie, she's now gone for a short while and then she's back again. And I said to her, often said to her, I only need, at the worst of the worst situation, you behind the piano, that's good enough for me. Because just like, I just need Marie, I just need, or Marley, one of these people, just take the piano and I'm good. I'm just real good. Because what they produce is totally professional in the terms of the music world, in the terms of Christianity, just brilliant musicians and brilliant singers. Give the Lord a praise offering, everybody. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I want to tonight kind of wrap it up because what comes now is Good Friday. That's Friday morning and it's a single service at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, and because we're going to have communion, we'll have communion on Friday, not on Sunday as we usually do on the first day of the month. Friday is the beginning of the Easter weekend or the Passover weekend. That's the right word, not Easter. Passover, the Passover weekend, Good Friday. It's the time of the crucifixion of Christ. And it is the time that also in Jerusalem, same thing, is celebrated. And therefore, it is a high holy day, Friday. It's the day of the crucifixion. In fact, it's the most sacred day on the Christian calendar that you can find. Now, I've been talking about the covenant. I'm going to carry on with that tonight, wrap it up, and then begin to focus on the cross. Then once we focused on the cross, we're going to focus on the resurrection. That's next Sunday. I'll do that. And the next Sunday night is going to be classic Christian music. We're just going to roll with everything that's classic in the Christian world in terms of, I said to Marley, bring out the old songs, bring out some beautiful stuff in the past that, how many of you'd like to hear a couple of those again? Bring out some old stuff and let us rejoice in the Lord. You know, there's some of those songs like Then Sings My Soul, for example, My Savior God to Thee, that they're just eternal. They are just good forever. And you want to sing them, it is well with my soul. There are so many of them that are just good forever. You can never get enough of them. You can sing them until Jesus comes. They're that powerful songs, but they came out, and we'll do that on Sunday. And then Sunday night, Resurrection night, is a celebration night. So we're going to be celebrating here. We're going to have a good time in this place. In the meantime, I'm glad to see so very many people in the house of the Lord. This morning, the place was packed. That second service, it was full house. First service, a huge crowd. Second service, full out. Third service was like a lot of people. The third service has grown with leaps and bounds. I can't believe what's happening. All of the people, and then tonight, look at this. Next week, of course, a huge celebration, breakthrough night again. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. It's good to see you here tonight. And we pray there will be, there must be on Saturday morning a prayer meeting, which again, I'll be here. And I will, after the crucifixion day, which is Friday, which is Good Friday, Saturday morning, always as always, and just how strategic it has always been. Angus Buchan in the Cape, we're here, and we get their list of prayer titles. We pray the same lines, and we pray over the city of Cape Town. We're asking God to send rain to that place of drought. Can you say amen? It's a calamity, and we do not want those people to suffer because of that. And we trust God that God commands the clouds. It's as simple as that. God commands the clouds. We're the body of Christ. And we're saying to the clouds, come in the name of Jesus Christ. Let it rain over the Western Cape. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, I want to therefore go straight away with you. And I want to take the verse, which is Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 1. Just take a few verses here. Hebrews 10, verse 1. And then after that, I'm going to read something else from the book of Romans 3 from the Amplified Bible, because I want it that way. There is some Greek that is easily understood when you read it from there. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow. You know, Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin used to say, pay attention to the word. We need to pay attention to the word. We need to be, as he said, word conscious. We read too fast. We think too little about what we read. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they continually offer year by year, make those who approach perfect. They had to do it again and again and again and again. This morning we know by one sacrifice, he cleansed once and for all. Those who believe in him will receive everlasting life. Right. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. This morning we read, how much more shall the blood of Jesus cleanse your conscience from dead works? That's Hebrews 9, verse 14. But now, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, Hebrews 10, verse 5, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. To do your will, O God. There's the key. Everybody say obedience. Previously saying sacrifice and offering burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. Now, verse number 9. He takes away the first, that he might establish the second. Here we see in the New Living Translation, explaining that a little bit. Then he said, look, I've come to do your will. He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. Now we know that of necessity, as the word says in the book of Hebrews, a testament is empowered if there is the death of the testator. So once he had died on the cross, the total covenant was empowered. Go and preach the gospel to all the nations. He that believes, number one, and is baptized, buried his old man in the baptismal pool, buried with Christ into death, that just as Christ, Romans 6, was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so he should live. Romans chapter number 7, and now we serve God in the newness of the Spirit. Romans chapter number 8, verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For those who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Notice the words. Those who walk according to the Spirit. I have to be Spirit-led. That's a whole thing to talk about. That's much to talk about. How you can be led by the Spirit of God. Because as long as you're walking led by the Spirit, you won't commit any type of sin that is prohibited by God. It's when people lose their fellowship, their relationship, they're walking in the Spirit. Jesus said, rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation, that he might establish the second. Or he says it cancels in the New Living Translation. He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. Now it's empowered. Now we are here. Now, I want to go to the Amplified Bible in the book of Romans. And this here section of Romans, let me just see if I can find the Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3. And I'm picking up in verse 23. And I need to say this because this is very important. Since we all have sinned, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned, Amplified Bible now, falling short of the honor and the glory which God bestows and receives. All are justified and made upright and in right standing with God, freely and gratuitously by his grace, his unmerited favor, through the redemption which is provided in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward before the eyes of all. The English uses the word a propitiation of sin, as, and it means this, a mercy seat. It's the blood of Jesus on the perfect tabernacle which is in heaven at the throne of God. On that mercy seat, in the perfect place, right before the throne of God, the blood of Jesus, the Afrikaans for that is Buta Dunang, is the place of the mercy seat. There he took once and for all, by the Holy Spirit, by the Eternal Spirit, offered himself once for all, that we might be reconciled to God. Now, it's very interesting here, and it says, again, verse 25, whom God put forward before the eyes of all as a mercy seat and propitiation, which is what it means, by his blood, mercy seat by his blood, not animals, not bulls or whatever, the cleansing and life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation to be received through faith. This was to show God's righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. Because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over and ignored the former sins without punishment. To show God's righteousness. Now, dear friends, the Bible tells us that Christ has been made wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption to us. That is in the book of 1 Corinthians 1:30. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says these words. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Some translation says, a new species of being that did not exist before. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. New life begins. I'm actually born when I am born again, because my flesh, my blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But I want to focus on this word righteous for the last time tonight. And I want to say what E.W. Kenyon, a remarkable man, he died a year after I was born, 1948. I was born 47. He died 48. And he had people that followed him. And there was a man called Don Gossett that wrote some books with E.W. Kenyon. His books, every one of them, are amazing. You just get some, there are just a few people on the planet that walk, they're walking revelation. He was one of them. And he set the platform of teaching for generations to come. He's the one, the root of the term new creation realities. That's where it comes from E.W. Kenyon. I noticed that he follows me, well, not him, obviously his family or his ministry that remains up to this day, family. They follow me on Twitter, and I've noticed that. And so E.W. Kenyon wrote a series of books. One of his books is What Happened from the Cross to the Throne. It is a string of revelation all the way through. Every one of his books, you can't read fast. It is so loaded. It is very simple, but it's so profound. It's loaded with revelation knowledge. As he spoke about sense knowledge, everything that we've learned through our natural senses, the eyes, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the taste, and the touch, everything that we have learned has come to us through our senses. He calls that sense knowledge. Then he talks about revelation knowledge that comes through the Holy Spirit. Now, when we pray, that's when revelation knowledge begins to flow towards us. We must have a relationship with God. Now, what is very important, and perhaps of all the things I have taught you, I told you about the life of the flesh is in the blood. I've taught you about the blood of the sinless Lamb of God. Everything. I told you that. Now, Friday, we're facing the cross and the actual what happened on the throne and what happened from the throne to the cross. Or from the cross to the throne, the other way around. So we'll get to that on Friday morning. But the one thing that stands out is exactly what I've been fasting about for 8 days. And I read the Pauline epistles, Paul's epistles, to get the Pauline revelation. It's summarized in one word. One word. One single word. Righteousness. He has been made wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now, a little bit more about the covenant. Righteousness being the ability, as Kenyon puts it, and I totally agree with it, because if you do a proper analysis by all the dictionaries of it, righteousness literally means to be able to stand in the presence of God, that is right standing with God, to stand in His presence without fear, without condemnation, without a guilty conscience, because the blood of Jesus cleanses your conscience, the voice of your spirit, from dead works. It cleanses your conscience. Everybody say those words. The blood of Jesus cleanses my conscience. If I repent, if I confess my sins and ask God to cleanse me by the power of the blood of Jesus, my conscience is cleared. See, that's it. So there's no need anymore. All the time these animals were sacrificed year after year. And so it needed to be done to give them an atonement or a covering of their sins. But when Jesus came, it was a one-time situation. One sacrifice, once and for all. He entered into the most holy place by His own blood. And through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unto God. God could not ignore His own blood. Because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, these three are one. God couldn't ignore the blood. The Father couldn't ignore the blood of His Son. The innocent blood, as Judas Iscariot said, I have betrayed innocent blood. And He went and he crucified Himself. He hung Himself, in fact. And He died. And we know about that if we read the Bible in the book of Acts, that He was taken away and replaced by another apostle called Matthias, who walked with Jesus for those 3 years. They were what you call the apostles of the Lamb. They walked with the Lord those 3 years. So there was this thing that now this once and for all was so powerful that a revelation of that will cleanse you, indeed cleanse you. Your faith has a spike in the tire, so to speak. It has a flat tire as long as you're walking around with a guilty conscience. But the moment you confess, you repent, and you ask God to wash you in His blood, the moment you do just that, the blood of Jesus goes deep to your spirit level, where the life of the flesh that is in the blood, and there is a divine exchange that is a cleansing. It removes, just like normal blood removes all the waste products, so the blood of Jesus removes the waste product called sin out of your system. And there in the depth of your heart, something happens. You don't walk around feeling as if you swallowed a bag of stone, full of stones. You know, like you've been chewing stones and swallowing them and you're just that heavy on the inside. You don't walk around like that anymore. Right now, you've been cleansed by the power of the blood of Jesus. There remains no further offering and your conscience is cleansed. I say again, the voice of your born-again spirit. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new species of being that never existed before. And you're cleansed. And now you come, Hebrews 4:16, boldly to the throne room of grace. Let us enter therefore, Hebrews 10:19, boldly into His presence. Through the blood of Jesus, through the veil which is His flesh, with our hearts assured in faith. And if any man draws back my soul, says God, my soul, my nefesh, is the Hebrew word for soul, which is life, has no pleasure in such a person. No drawing back now, because now I have confidence. Now, I think of everything that I want you to really, really grip is something I'm going to re-explain. I've done it before. I have to do it again. And if necessary, I'll do it 10 times, 20, 30 times. It is like the Apostle Peter, I do not hesitate to stir you by way of reminder of the following fact. That when Abraham believed in God, Genesis 15:6, that word believed and God accounted it to him for righteousness. Accounted for righteousness. That righteousness came because of faith. What did he do to empower that faith? The word believe there, as Kenyon puts it, and he's quite right, because it is absolutely in line with all the research I've done. It's an unqualified, no compromise, unreserved, total giving over of all he was, all he is, all he has, ever will have. He gives himself. Please listen to what I'm saying now, because this is for your life important. This is for your future important. This will take you over. This will empower your faith. This will activate your faith, because I don't think faith reaches its pinnacle, its full power. Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, it doesn't reach its power. As long as I'm walking around with a guilty conscience, that's how the devil works with the people. They don't understand the power of the blood of Jesus that cleanses the conscience from dead works. They don't understand that. The second thing they don't understand is that you need to understand that you have to, but by default, imperatively, absolutely, whatever you have, all your possessions, your family, your house, no matter what it is, has got to be given over in the hands of God. So it becomes God's property. Now kicks in or is activated the covenant of God with us. From that moment in time, God takes over to what is now His property. Lord, I give you my all. He now takes charge of that. And that to me, absolutely after, wow, from 1979 when I made a vow of commitment to God to this day tonight, I want to tell you, to me, that is the number one factor in empowering faith. You have to give it all to God. Not some of it, not, well, you know what, I just give you my heart. That's fine. Tomorrow I'm carrying on and I'm still living like a Philistine. I'm not living like a child of God. And I pray for things and I see people pray and I see they get answers, but I pray nothing happens. It's because I had reservations in my giving over to God. I have to give myself totally. And this is what Abraham did. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, if I can have anything, like Morris Sorelli would say these words, says, let it be burned in your heart. Let it be written on your spirit. In order to get the fullness of the faith, you have to give him the fullness of everything you even exist of. Even no matter what you've got, doesn't matter. It all must be given over to God. Now there is a divine exchange. Now the Bible says we have the spirit of faith. Now the Bible begins to say every promise is yea and amen through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God knows when he is addressed by someone who has completely surrendered, like Abraham. The moment you follow in Romans chapter before verse 1, what she say then concerning Abraham, the father of us all, according to the flesh. The Bible says we are the seed of Abraham if we are in Christ Jesus. This righteousness of faith works to its full power. Listen, let me tell you something. If it was like a bulb of light, if it was like a power station, if it was like a generator, if it was like light, I would just light up the moment I give God everything. From that moment in time, the devil would know it and he would flee. The devil would know he's got trouble. My authority in Christ would reach its full power. My prayer would reach its full power. When I ask something, it'll reach its full power. When I ask, is there anybody here in this place that feels sick? And that person says, yes, me. The moment that person says, I give you everything I've got, no matter what I've got. If I'm in a wheelchair, I give you the wheelchair too. If I, you know, I got shoes to come to church on Sunday, that's yours too. If I've got 10 suits or 10 dresses, no matter, or 10 shirts or 10 jerseys, whatever I've got, I give you that too. Everything, I give you that. It's now yours. But now I am just a steward of what belongs to God. But now I want to take you to John chapter number 15 where Jesus makes these statements. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He says, in this my Father is much pleased if you bear much fruit. The Father is pleased when we bear fruit. But what did he just say? Become word aware. I am the vine. What are you? The branches. Can a branch have life without the vine? No. There's therefore a connectedness with God. That connectedness through the covenant of Jesus, through the blood covenant, that connectedness leads to much fruit. The more I live connected, the more fruitful I become. People don't realize it, even financially. I was thinking of a verse. And I mean, this is, I wonder if I can get it here. And maybe it is here, I don't know. But I think I might just have it here. Let me just see. I want to give you, no, it's in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me go there. My mind tells me where to go. Memory is not a problem. We have the mind of Christ. Right. So when we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and God's talking here about sowing sparingly, reaping sparingly, sows bountifully, will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace, chanada, abound to you, that you, always having sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work, as is written. He has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He is the vine, we are the branches. Now, verse 10, May he, oh dear Jesus, I love the Lord. May he who supplies seed to you, the sower, and bread for food, supply and multiply. Everybody say multiply. Multiplied the seed that you have sowed, like tonight you did. And by faith in God, if you understand this unqualified commitment, you will in the future very much so. I tell you what, you could take my life, you won't stop me from tithing. I will not. There's no way in this world. In fact, we're way past that. Way past that in our lives. More than life, way past it. Supply and multiply the seed that you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Do you know that I am the vine, you are the branches. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Increase the fruit of your righteousness. The moment I do what he tells me, Abraham obeyed God. The moment I surrender, it's no more a question, because I'm only a steward of what belongs to God now. And he's working it over, and I say, Lord, in the meantime, I've earned another, let's say, 1,000 rand. Here is a tithing. Here is a tenth of that to tell you I'm still there. I'm surrendered, Lord. And the fruit of my righteousness, say, may he multiply. Everybody say multiply. Now I get to the point where everything is multiplied. Now I get to the point where I'm not looking around and I'm desperate. But you know, this is not difficult to understand. This is really very simplistic. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot discern them. The spiritual judges all things, yet he is judged by no one. But we have 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 2, 16, shall I say. I've just corrected myself. 1 Corinthians 2, 16. But we have the mind of Christ. Natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They foolishness to him. Now, I'm not part of that. I want to be a spiritual man. And as a spiritual man, prompted by the Holy Spirit, I want the fruits of my righteous living. So I do what is righteous. And I say, Lord, you know what? Now with this I live. And now here goes a tenth. Now the Lord comes back and he begins to multiply. Everything I do is multiplied. I get myself to a position where there's favor. You go to the bank, there's no problem with obtaining the necessary favor. You go to do a business deal, there's no problem to do the business deal. You sometimes want to do a business deal, God stops you right there. And he says, not that, because that won't be good for you. I've had that many, many times. I said to people, just get out of there. Get out. People, you know, that I know, that say to me, what do I do now? I say, get out. Not one step forward. In one case, I said to someone, make a U-turn. Get out of that. It'll destroy you. If you go further with that, it was a deal. It was a transaction. It looked so glorious, but it wasn't so glorious, it would have taken him out. God becomes involved if you're a covenant person. Listen, say these words, divine exchange. Now, he takes, and we all are, really we are. He owns the planet. He owns the universe. It's his. So what we have, nothing that we've manufactured really belongs to us, even our own bodies. We belong to him. We've been bought at a price. So now I come and I say, Lord, my poverty, you became poor. The Bible says that we might become rich. And I'm not talking just of earthly wealth. I'm not talking of monetary, of money, because the love, not money, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money instead of God. Some people don't understand this. Lord always say, how much is enough? Some people become millionaires. That's not enough. They want to be a trillionaire. How much is enough? They want more. Once they've got a billion, they want to say, okay, now what? I tell you what, I want to be one of the richest men in the world right now. Let's multiply this lot. And then he goes on and goes on. And you know what? They fall in love with mammon or mammones, which is the money devil. And that thing, the love of money is the root of evil, by which many have pierced themselves with many sorrows, is the word. Pierce themselves. So I say, Lord, you know what? I'm not in love with this stuff. Here's my tithing. Two, if it's necessary. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. So me and Mort, we give our house so that this church has chairs. That's how you got chairs in the church. We sell the house, take the money and give it to the church, buy chairs. Like that. Then a second, we had invested at a time when the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, saying there's coming a financial shaking. And I warned the church about that, that the Lord's going to shake the world financial system. And he did. So it was calamity. A lot of people lost a lot of money at the time. And I said to the people, we better train you how to snowball yourself out of debt. And what to do and to get out of debt. So therefore, we did teaching on that subject, and there came this financial shaking, and at that time, a lot of people followed exactly through, others didn't follow through, and they came to a crash. And so we prepared the people, but Maud and I there decided we're going to invest rather than in anything else. We're just going to withdraw all things and rather invest in something that has real value. So we decided that we're going to buy an apartment. She actually bought the apartment for her parents, so the parents could stay here. They're both now gone on to be with the Lord now. But so when that time came, we gave that apartment, we gave that to the church as well, the money. We sold it, money to the church. Same thing, twice. Then I had a car. Somebody came to me and said, you know, there's a missionary who wants to preach the gospel in Soweto. You've got two cars. I had two cars at the time. And he said, we want that car. That'll be better than anything else for him, that car. It's the most economical. So I gave him my car. And then in exchange, I got this, I'll never forget it, this three-cylinder out of four cylinders operating car with a steering wheel so heavy that you needed something to just to get that steering wheel to turn. And no matter what you do, you couldn't get the wheels aligned. You couldn't get nothing done about it. That thing had that heavy steering. I'll never forget it. Three cylinders working on the thing. But we did it. Gave the car away. People battle. They sit in small change. They battle to open up, they hold on to that note, you know, with a rhino horn on the inside, that rhino horn comes right through their fingers, through the hand. They walk around with bleeding hands and they just go out, yeah, I'm not letting go of this. I love the rhinos, you know, don't destroy the rhino horns, you know. And I've got one here in my hand. Let go of that thing and give it to God, so that God can start blessing you in your life. Give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. In the old days, some people used to say, you know, you had Jan van Riebeek on the notes in the old days. They said, you know, they squeezed old Jan van Riebeek's head so hard that his eyes started giving tears. I mean, it's just murderous. You know? So when you come to God, you say, Lord God, I give you my all. I'm just a steward of what belongs to you. Why? Because you created me and you created the heavens and the earth and all that is within it is yours in any way. What have I got that you haven't given me? What gifts have I got that you haven't given me? If I've got any ability, no matter what it is, you've given it to me. If I am artistic, if I'm athletic, if I'm whatever my achievements, that's all because of what God has done to you and for you. And because that has brought you where you are today. And now you give him your all. That unqualified commitment, my dearest of friends, you're so faithful to God. just listen to your pastor tonight. Just go home. Take this book. Hold it on your heart and say, Lord, this is it. Everything that is mine is no longer mine. It's now yours. Then the government of the kingdom of God takes over. And then from that moment, Abraham believed God. That's what he did. And God accounted it to him for righteousness. Yes, as I've also said, I need to repeat this over and over and over. God tested him after that. Were you serious? Bring your Isaac along. Some people have Isaacs that they don't want to let go of. Those Isaacs are destroying their lives. Some people elevate their children above God. Some people elevate their cars above God. Some people elevate sport above God. Some people elevate whatever it is that they're doing. It becomes an idol in their lives. No, Lord. Now, with you at the center of my heart, and I am now in Christ Jesus, you take over. And Abraham believed God. That belief includes then the fact that from that moment is born the Hebrew word trust. Trust in the Lord, which is the word, the fundamental word then for faith. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Now you can trust God. Now you have not got no guilty conscience anyway. You've confessed your sins. You've surrendered your all. You've given it. You turn it over to God. It's now God's. Lock, stock, and barrel, boots and all. You turn it over. Now, God, you're in control. This is now yours. I'm just managing it for you. I'm laboring for you. I'm a living, living sacrifice. I'm on the altar. I can never get off again. I'm on the altar. I'm on the cross. I'm crucified. I'm dead to the world. I'm dead to all of this stuff. God, it's yours. And from my side, help me to live the righteous life. Then your fruit starts increasing. Because now he takes over, because you've just given him his property back, actually. And now he starts taking over. Now you find that this divine exchange happens. And, you know, I wonder how I shall do with, shall I get involved in this situation or not? And here in your heart, you suddenly have a check. It becomes scratchy. The Spirit bears witness with our spirits. You know, God at one time spoke to Dr. Kenneth Yeagan and said these words, there's a way I lead most of my children, the witness of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. I become scratchy. And you know what? If I'm scratchy about doing something, I'd go pray about it. I'd go to Maud and say, listen, I've got this situation. I like to bounce it off you. She prays all the time. I pray all the time. We go in the nights. We pray in all sorts of strange times. We pray. And I would say to her, this is the thing. Just think about this. She would give me her opinion, and we'd think about it. We'd pray about it. We'd say, Lord, okay, right. We have the mind of Christ. And I'm feeling kind of, you know, just like, I'm just disturbed right here. I just don't know about this. And I can reason, no, this is going to be advantageous. I can reason, this thing is going to work. I can reason, well, you know what? If I make a couple of calculations, then the following is a glorious outcome for me. And I'll never again, I'll be able to retire at the age of 40 if necessary. But I'm scratching here. It's just not nice. I got the warning of the Spirit. He's not bearing witness. He knows what's the best for me. This is how the Spirit leads. And I reason and reason, and I talk to people. And the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they foolishness unto him. And I've been crucified with Christ. And to the natural man, the story of the cross, 1 Corinthians 1:18 is folly to those on their way to perdition, destruction, wipeout, eternal damnation. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation, the story of the cross. So now I say, Lord, you know, I just don't get this right. And I go to a couple of people and talk to people like natural man, like get wisdom from this guy, and it's a worldly person, another one. And they all say, oh, of course, you know, you're going to become filthy rich the way you're going to go now. Filthy rich, if there's such a thing as filthy rich. Maybe it is, I don't know. Don't know. That's another thought. I got to think about that now. You know, and I feel like a cat that's been stroked. Purring. It's so nice. Tomorrow morning I get out of bed, and as I want to go pray, I'm still scratchy. I just don't get the peace of God that passes my understanding. And suddenly I realize this is not going away. Don't. When in doubt, do without. Don't. And so there we have, Maud and I avoided many, many pains and sorrows. The two of us get in agreement. How shall two walk together except they're in agreement? The two of us walk in agreement. The word of God says, and I will not twist this word. This pastor will rather die than twist it. Some, the Bible says, having twisted the word of God to their own destruction. That's the truth. You take this book, and when it says that is what I'm going to do. When it says yes, it's what I'm going to do. When it says no, it's what I'm going to do. Somebody says to me, Pastor Harold, I want to ask you, shall I do this? Shall I do that? Shall I do the other? I said, what do you expect from me? I can only tell you what the Word says. Because these three, the Father, the Son, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, these three are one, and these three agree. So He dwells on the inside of me. Bell dwells on the inside of you. I have surrendered my everything. If I have to give it up tomorrow and go and live in a tin shack next to the sea where the wind blows and it blows half away every night, if He says so, I do that. Because I'd rather be in the middle of nowhere sitting on a paraffin tin with an oil lamp in the will of God than sitting in a castle on a hill out of the will of God. Can you say amen? I'm not interested in that. Because to me, that hill belongs. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Amen. Mali, waar is julle vanaand? Kom, Mali. Kom, waar's your kids? Kom. When I was your age, I did these things so fast. I want to tell you. Amen. I can say it now. I'm 27 years young. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, I give you my all. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. You know that. Just listen to the angels sing here with us tonight. I mean, the angels are singing with us tonight. You're sounding like, it's beautiful. You know, there is a song called The Slave Choir of Nabucco, of Verdi. And it's like, you know, you hear that music, it almost gives you the goosebumps. And you listen to that music, and that's what you sounded like now. It's just a magnificent. The worship of the saints doesn't need to be loud. It needs to be sensitive. It needs to be intense. We're going to sing, and then I'm going to say something, and I'm going to pray for some people. I want us to sing a song. What happened to them? That is because I'm singing here. And if they don't come, I'll stout. If they don't come, I'll sing again. Oh, just a closer walk with thee. Come on. Well, it's 8 o'clock. Sunday school closes. Children's church, let's close. Until Good Friday morning at 8 a.m., the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord lift up His countenance over you and be gracious to you and grant you eternal salvation and peace. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen. God bless you.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.